And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing that in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Jesus and his disciples immediately returned from their brief trip to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. After healing the demoniac there, they boarded the boat and went back to the west side of the sea, back into Jewish territory. When they arrived, a crowd was either already gathered waiting for his return or quickly assembled upon his return. It was a large crowd. But there were two people that were there that are emphasized, and they could not have been much more different than what they were. First, there was a man who sought Jesus on behalf of his daughter. He was a notable, well-respected member of the community coming to Jesus on behalf of his daughter who was dying of a mysterious illness. His daughter had given him 12 years of happiness, but he was about to lose her. Second, there was the woman that we read about in our text. She was apparently an anonymous nobody. We do not know anything about her, except that she had an incurable disease that had given her 12 years of misery. But she was about to lose it. It is this woman that draws our attention today. And we will look at the man about to lose his daughter at a later time. The miracle this woman experiences contains an important lesson for us. Whether or not you have come to the end of your resources, determine to go to Jesus. That is the lesson that we can take away from this account recorded in Mark chapter 5. Whether or not you've come to the end of your own resources, flee to Jesus. Place your faith in him. The contrast of man's resources and Jesus' resources could not be more clear than they are in this text. I invite you to follow along as we see this contrast unfold through the details given to us in God's word. Number one, I'd like you to notice the impossible situation. This anonymous woman that we know nothing about really other than what is recorded for us here in Mark chapter number 5, found herself in an impossible situation. She came to Jesus having had experienced a bleeding disorder for 12 years. In fact, the Bible says in verse 29 that this was a plague. Jesus also used that word in verse number 34. That word plague literally denotes suffering, torment. It is a word that came to mean and was even translated at other times in the scripture, what we would think of as a scourging whip. A whip like the Roman soldiers would have used to beat Jesus Christ at the time of his crucifixion. A scourging whip like the Apostle Paul himself experienced on numerous occasions. That is the picture of the incurable disease that this woman was experiencing. It was not a minor disease, nor was it a short-term physical ailment. The Bible records for us that she had had this condition for 12 years. On the surface, this may not mean much to us because we do not immediately see the effects that this caused in her life. However, the effects were devastating. Due to this disease, according to Jewish law, this woman was considered ceremonially unclean. And anyone or anything that she came in contact with would share in her uncleanness. So she was excommunicated from the worship community of Israel and ostracized from social interaction virtually of any kind. One Bible scholar describes that situation this way. He said, by the very law of her people, she was divorced from her husband. She could not live in her home. She was ostracized from all society and must not come in contact with her old friends or make new ones. She was excommunicated from the services of the synagogue and thus shut out from the women's courts in the temple. Very literally, this woman had to give up life as she knew it. We do not know where she came from, where home was. We do not know what her family situation was. But it had changed completely when this disease took hold of her body. Because of our current situation, some of us can imagine on a small scale what this woman experienced for 12 long years. Did she have a husband that she had been separated from? That was the law of the land. With this condition, she could no longer remain with her husband, but had to separate from him legally and physically. Did she have children that she was banned from seeing, showing affection to, spending time with? Did she have a community of neighbors and friends that she could no longer visit with, enjoy their company as they enjoyed hers? We don't know, but certainly if any of those things were true, this woman, because of this disease, would have been separated from all that she held dear, both in the sense of material things and people. Her suffering due to her disease was perhaps only overshadowed by the anguish of being absolutely alone for 12 long years. And her suffering was only compounded by the inability of all the physicians and specialists of her day who could come up with no solution to her illness. You can actually study in ancient Jewish literature different treatments that they would use for bleeding disorders like this. This woman went to all the physicians and specialists of her day that she could. The Bible records that she spent all her, she had all of her income, whatever it was, all of her life savings, whatever it was, all of her inheritance, whatever it was, she had spent on different doctors and different specialists who had found absolutely no solution for her. She spent absolutely every last penny and had nothing to show for it, except a greater hopelessness than ever before. The Bible records that even through seeing these physicians, spending all the money that she spent, her condition only grew worse. The only thing she had more of than she had before was more suffering, more pain, more anguish, more hopelessness. But I want you to see a second part of this record. The Bible moves on from speaking to us about the impossible situation to sharing with us the incredible solution. In verses 27 through 29 of Mark 5, we find that this woman somehow heard that Jesus had come. Whether or not she had heard of Jesus before, we are not aware, though it seems likely that she would have, because of Jesus' popularity at that point in his ministry. And in this particular case, Jesus was coming near to where she was. And she determined to go to him in secrecy so that she might simply touch his garment and be healed. What an amazing thought. The Bible records nowhere else for us that Jesus healed anybody in that fashion. It does not mean that it did not happen. The Bible simply does not record it. People of that day were very superstitious, even believing that touching the clothing or an article that belonged to some prophet or healer would bring them healing. So there may have been a sense of superstition mixed with her hope, her belief that simply touching Jesus would lead to her healing. Whatever the case, this desperate woman now pinned all her hope on Jesus Christ. She had come to the complete end of herself and her own resources and came to Jesus. Regardless of the quality of her faith, she was healed immediately and completely. Verse 29 says, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." What an amazing demonstration. Not of the faith of this woman, but of the power of Jesus Christ. I move on to show you the third part of this record. We've seen the impossible situation, the incredible solution. Let me go to Jesus and just try to touch the hem of his clothing. Now I want you to see the inquisitive Savior. The Bible records that after she reached Jesus in secrecy, doing so out of fear, out of hesitancy to make herself known because of her uncleanness, she reached Jesus and just touched the hem of his garment and was healed immediately and completely. At the same time, Jesus sensed the power leaving him. Jesus knew that power had gone out of him, and he turned to address the individual who touched him in faith. This does not mean that Jesus unwillingly or unknowingly healed this woman. It wasn't as if Jesus was suddenly surprised. He's not a power source like a battery that involuntarily yields its power under the right conditions. Jesus was both knowledgeable and volitional in this display of his power. So why this response? The remainder of the account gives evidence to the answer to this question. Jesus evidently wanted to encourage the recipient of his miraculous power personally, as we will see further in a few moments. But as Jesus turned and inquired after who it was that touched him, his disciples seemed to think this question was absurd because of the pressing crowd. There was a multitude surrounding them, and people were constantly pressing forward to get as close to Jesus as they could. Much like we might see of celebrities in our day or sports stars, the fans gathered on either side of the walkway, reaching across the barriers, just trying to get close to that celebrity or that sports star. People were pressing on Jesus from all sides and constantly rubbing up against him or rubbing shoulders with him or reaching out and touching him. The multitude was thronging him, and Jesus had certainly been touched by an untold number of people as they made their way to the home of Jairus. However, Jesus was looking for a specific individual in the crowd, the one who had touched him in faith. One commentator said this emphasized Jesus' ability to distinguish the touch of one who in faith expected deliverance from the inadvertent touch of those crowding against him. There was and still is a great difference between the two. Realizing she was discovered, the woman came forward and revealed herself to the Lord. Then I want you to see a fourth part to this record. We've seen the impossible situation. A woman with an incurable disease for 12 years, who only grew worse at the hands of every doctor and specialist she ever saw. The incredible solution, she determined to go to Jesus, believing if she could but touch his clothing, she would be healed. The inquisitive Savior, Jesus, looking out for the one who had touched him in faith because he personally wanted to encourage the recipient of his miraculous power. And then I want you to see the incomparable salutation. Verse 33 records for us that the woman came forward fearful, trembling. She had already been afraid, had come in secrecy because of her uncleanness. She wanted no one there to recognize her or know that she was ceremonially unclean and thus keep her from getting to Jesus. Now she was trembling and afraid because of the great experience of miraculous power that she had had. Now she comes to Jesus and told him who she was, why she had come, what she had sought. Jesus wanted to encourage her, and so he does so here with two crucial components. Notice them in verse number 34. The Bible says, "And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." Two crucial components of this encouragement from Jesus Christ. Notice, first of all, Jesus conferred her family relation. Notice he called her by the title daughter. This term of affection is only recorded as used by Jesus here and nowhere else in the records of the Gospels sharing with us about the ministry of Jesus Christ. Did he ever refer to another woman as daughter, just this one? And it emphasized a new family relation that existed between them. Notice the second crucial component of his encouragement. Not only did he confer family relation, but Jesus confirmed her faith response. Her healing and reception of family relation to Christ were due to her faith. Because of her faith in Christ, she was made physically and spiritually whole. This is a tremendous display of the glorious power of Jesus Christ. And how fitting that it should be the focus of our message today. I dare say that we can relate to it now more than we ever could in the past. With everything we're experiencing that we're seeing in our world, in our country, in our own community, our own homes, perhaps we can relate more than we ever could before. What truths do we see in this that will help us determine to go to Jesus and put our faith in him? Let me give you two takeaways, two applications for you to consider and apply to your life. First, man's resources fall short, but Jesus's never will. Man's resources can and will fall short, but Jesus's resources never will. Have you ever found yourself lacking resources for something you had to do or something you were facing? Maybe there was a task before you. Something that was given to you to do by another person, or maybe even by God himself. And you felt in yourself that you did not have the resources, nor did you know where you could go to get the resources to accomplish that task. Perhaps you were facing something. It could be or have been a physical ailment, like the woman in this text. It could have been an emotional struggle, an attack on your peace or your spirit from an outside source, opposition that you faced at the hands of another. And as you looked toward that task, as you looked toward that challenge, you felt in your heart that you did not have the resources to accomplish the task or to face that challenge. Perhaps you tried to accomplish the task or face that challenge in your own strength, in your own resources, and you've tried everything. You've done everything that you possibly could to accomplish the task or to be victorious over that challenge or to endure through that challenge. And you've come to the end of yourself and your resources. Have you ever found that others you went to for aid lack the resources to meet your need? Sometimes after we look to ourselves, we look to others. We go to them hoping that they will have the resources that we need to accomplish the task or to face that challenge in victory or endure through that challenge. And we have not found that they have the resources we need. Men, we tend to run to all kinds of physicians seeking aid. We run to Dr. Self, hoping that we can find what we need in ourselves. We run to Dr. Dollar, trusting the almighty dollar will solve the problems that we face. We run to Dr. Entertainment, Dr. Medicine, or Dr. Counselor, believing that we'll find the distraction or the comfort that we need. Ultimately, what we need cannot be found in these resources. What we need is found in a person called Jesus Christ, who has all the resources we need to victoriously accomplish, overcome, and endure what stands in front of us. Man's resources will fall short, but Jesus's never will. When you come to the end of yourself or the resources that others offer you, and friend, even before you reach that point, determine to go to Jesus and put your faith in him. There's a second takeaway or application I want to leave with you. And it's this. Don't miss it. It's so important. Faith is responded to in relation to its object, not its quality. Let me say that again. Faith is responded to in relation to its object, not its quality. One Bible writer said of the woman in our text these words, "Because even though her faith had elements of error and superstition, she believed in the healing power of Jesus. And the border of his garment served as a point of contact for that faith." There are many things that we could find wrong with this woman's faith. But more than anything, her faith was in Jesus. And the object of faith is much more important than the quality. Listen to me for just a moment. It is not necessarily great faith that matters. I can have great faith in any number of things that will not be responded to. I can have great faith in myself. I can have great faith in Dr. Dollar, Dr. Entertainment, Dr. Medicine, Dr. Counselor. I can have great faith in teachers and prophets and self-proclaimed healers. I can have great faith in any number of objects. But having great faith in those various objects will not accomplish anything. You see, it is the greatness of the object of the faith that is important. And there is no greater object of faith than Jesus Christ. Three boys gave their definition of faith. One said, faith is taking hold of God. The second said, faith is holding on to God. And the third said, faith is not letting go. All three boys were correct. What great thoughts and determinations for us today Take hold of God. Hold on. And don't let go. Believers, make an end to accomplishing the tasks and facing what you are facing using your own resources, and determine to go to Jesus. Put your faith in Him. You say it is but a little faith. Oh, friend, it's not the amount of your faith that matters. It's the object of your faith. Whatever faith you have, be it little or much, put it in Jesus Christ. There are some watching or listening to this broadcast who need to become a part of the family of God. Perhaps you've been leaning on all kinds of things for salvation yourself. Some other teacher, prophet. You've clinged to religion. You've placed your faith in all sorts of objects and actions. But it is only by placing your faith in Christ that you can become part of God's family. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Just as that woman had family relation conferred upon her and had her faith response confirmed, so you and I too, when we come to Christ in faith, will be made a part of the family of God. He will respond to your faith immediately, completely. You'll come to Him. It's time to stop depending on your own resources and go to Jesus. Would you determine to do so today? Right where you are, I encourage you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a few moments. As you are bowing your heads and closing your eyes, I'd ask you, what is the response that God would have of you today? If you are a believer that needs to make a decision, do so right now. Choose to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to give up on your own resources and determine to flee to Christ. Perhaps you're not a believer in Jesus Christ. Won't you trust Him now? He wants to be your Savior. He came to this earth, gave His life, and rose again out of love for you. Won't you believe on Him now? If so, you can pray something like this: God, I recognize that I'm a sinner and that my sin condemns me before You. I also know and believe that You sent Jesus to die for my sin and rise again for my salvation. Would You now forgive my sins and save me? Thank You for Your free gift of salvation. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer in faith, then Jesus saved you just now. You can rejoice in knowing that you've been made a son or a daughter of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank You so much that we can find all our resources, all the resources that we need for victory, for overcoming, for enduring in You. I pray that You would help us to respond by laying aside our own resources and fleeing to You in faith, even if it's but a little faith. And Lord, if there is someone who has been listening to or watching this broadcast today who has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that right now where they are, you would convict them of their need of Christ, that they will believe on you and trust you for salvation. And we will be sure to praise and thank your holy name for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless. Join us again this evening at 6:00.